This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today is a very special guest, Mike Stamos, who is the co-founder and vice president of Gray Castle Security. What is the website, Mike?
GrayCastleSecurity.com.
GrayCastleSecurity.com.
G-R-E-Y.
G-R-E-Y. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you guys are a professional service organization. Like, if I don't have a CISO, Chief Information Security Officer, will you help me?
Yeah, so really, we help organizations do the fundamentals. So we do a lot of work in higher ed, healthcare, utilities, financial services, kind of the usual suspects from a regulatory perspective. But yeah, we're either an extension of an organization's cybersecurity team or we're the cybersecurity team, leading strategies, services, pen testing, risk assessment, responding to incidents, everything in between.
So you figure it all out.
Yeah, we do.
Do you offer these services to small businesses or only medium or large enterprises?
You know, really, we tend to work with organizations that have things to protect. So typically they're mid to large size organizations. The larger organizations, we tend to be an extension of the cybersecurity team. In those mid-sized organizations, we are their cybersecurity team.
So all of our small local dentist offices around America will remain extremely vulnerable.
Yeah, some of them may, but you know, there's a lot of resources out there. We try to help everybody, you know, when we can.
So let's say you have a medium-sized client. Would a city or a county or a town be able to be a client of yours?
For sure, yeah. We've seen a significant uptick in interest in clients in the government space, whether it's counties, city, local government. Unfortunately, you know, no surprise, they've been hit with ransomware and a lot of targeted cyber attacks stacking that industry. But we've earned a lot of clients through our response services out to those clients, and then you know, help them put a program in place to ensure those incidents occur less frequently.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, because you know, they call it we had the old MPLS gateways, now we have SD-WAN. We have this digital transformation. Everybody's moving to the cloud.
Yeah.
It's complex. It's empowering. It's enabling, but it's super high risk. Mm-hmm. How do you see that digital transformation occurring in your clients? And are you doing anything different based on all these cloud services versus on-prem?
Yeah, the way we assess an organization, and we were founded in 2011. We've grown to about 80 people today. You know, one of the fastest growing cybersecurity companies in the country. But when we were assessing organizations in 2011 and 2012, we were checking the doors on the server room and, you know, making sure they had adequate locks. Now we're assessing the contracts they have between their key vendors. We're helping them determine where their data is, because like you said, with the proliferation of data, I mean, our information is truly everywhere. So a lot of times we're helping organizations just sort out where it is and then do some tactical things to make it smaller so we can protect it more effectively.
Let's talk about that area. I call it the IAM area.
All right.
It's not about me. It's identity and access management.
Yeah.
So we're in this IAM zone. Most companies think they have a couple cloud apps, maybe Dropbox or HubSpot or, you know, Hootsuite or who knows, whatever, Salesforce or whatever they're using. Do you find they have a lot more apps than they expected in the cloud?
Absolutely. But also, it's the perception, especially in those mid-sized organizations, that it's all owned by IT. HR doesn't understand what data they actually own and have responsibility for. Same with legal and finance. So there's definitely tools that we can leverage to help prove the point that our data is all over the place. But then there's that secondary human element of helping organizations educate other business units outside of IT and security that they actually have some responsibility and some ownership and you know, they're risk owners for that data as well. So that's often missed as well.
So you're training them. For example, the sales team is now learning that they're accidentally shadow IT because they thought it was empowering using their credit card and maybe turning on Zoho CRM to save money when everyone else is supposed to use Salesforce, their remote branch. Now they're uploading all the company records to a whole different cloud site. Right. And that's kind of bad behavior, but they didn't mean it to be bad.
Yeah, always well-meaning. I mean, you know, 95% of the time it's well-meaning, but you know, we're training them to make those better decisions, but we're also just helping them just truly assess risk on a business level. The proliferation of technology has also proliferated a lot of cybersecurity tools that tend to overlook the human element of these sorts of things. So again, it's not so much training, it's really just helping these organizations properly assess risk to understand what those business units are responsible for. And IT loves that approach because we help them get some buy-in and some support that is often missing. So it's
not about the next firewall. It's not about the next AV. It's about people and processes and risk assessment and risk management.
Yeah, I mean, we're full of a room of fantastic leading-edge vendors. Technology's come a significantly long way. From what we're seeing, organizations are still missing the fundamentals that can't really be taken care of with the great technologies that surround us here.
So we've talked about IAM. What about spear phishing? And what about this new, what they call deep fake coming in the next wave, where you think, you know, we're training the staff, don't click the links anymore, but now you're going to get a video that looks like it's the CEO telling you to wire the money right away. And the bad guys eavesdropped and noticed the CEO's traveling, so it was perfect timing. I mean, are you training people about today's phishing attacks, spear phishing, deep sea phishing, and maybe the next wave of deep fake phishing?
Yeah, I mean, awareness and training. Obviously, we do lots of risk assessments, and it's uncommon for people and awareness to be not a high-ranking risk. So our awareness training tries to stay one step ahead. We tend to leverage training that's relevant not only to the person at the office, but maybe how they handle themselves at home or how they manage their children when they're using social media. So we really try to change user behaviors when we're helping organizations assess their human risk and improve that. But it's difficult. You know, people are complex, much more complex than systems. And, you know, trying to provide relevant training that keeps people engaged in short bursts is what we found to be most effective to get ahead of these things. But it's a cat and mouse game for sure.
Now, as a virtual CISO, I've hired your team. Are you always in the building? Do you have some remote management tools? Do you guys deploy things where you keep alerts or the SIEM stuff is offsite maybe to help me out? How do you do that?
A little bit of a mix of both. Some organizations we work with in an operational perspective where we are working as an extension of the team. So maybe we're helping them train their people or respond or test their incident response capabilities, or we're on retainer for response type services. Other organizations were more strategic and we're on site, typically, you know, in a cube or in an office on site at the client site. We don't resell any, you know, hardware, software services or monitoring services today. We work with the existing tools organizations have, or we help them source the right tools. So we've got hooks into that sort of stuff. Again, you know,
so you're vendor agnostic. You're more about the process and the risk reduction.
You got it. Yeah.
So greatcastlesecurity.com is where our viewers should go to learn about you guys.
Absolutely.
If they need to outsource or find a virtual CISO, you guys can do it anywhere in the U.S.?
Anywhere in the U.S. We've got clients internationally as well. Almost 50 states in the U.S. and then, you know, a bunch of clients with presence in other parts of the world as well. And then also, you know, what brings us here to this conference is we've got a full readiness services as well. So we do a lot of ISO 27001 prep, SOC 2 prep, help organizations with a lot of regulatory requirements, you know, GDPR, the privacy stuff, and things of that nature as well.
That's great. Is there anything we missed? Anything you want to share with our viewers or listeners?
You know, I think for us, our problem as a company and what will affect our ability to grow is probably the type of problem we solve for our clients as well. And it's that lack of talent and shortage of talent and no shortage of problems in our industry. So I think another thing that's kind of unique about our organization is we focus very heavily on culture, because we know if we can't retain and recruit the top talent in the country, you know, it's gonna affect our ability to grow. But that same problem exists for our clients. They're having a hard time keeping a CISO for an extended period of time. That CISO just gets an offer that they can't refuse and, you know, moves on to other organizations. That's causing a lot of problems for clients, especially in the mid-market. It's just a failure to recruit and retain the type of people they need. So we solve that problem. And I think for us as a business, we work pretty hard to ensure the people that work for us are in it for the long haul. We've been blessed to recruit and retain top people. And we take care of them in a way that causes them to stick around and stick with us for a while.
That's great. So you have offices around the country.
Yeah, we've got offices in New York, Minnesota.
Headquartered in Albany, New York?
Troy, New York.
Troy, New York. Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yep.
And again, I could be in California.
Sure.
I could be Utah. It doesn't matter where.
Nope.
I've got a business or a government agency or an organization that needs to outsource for some help.
Yep.
I need to reduce my risk. Maybe I need to harden my network and harden my people and battleship harden our ability to stop these breaches and the malware and the ransomware and also the behaviors, right? The patterns of behavior. You can do it for them.
Absolutely. Sure can.
That's great.
Yep.
Thank you. Great interview. Great hot seat.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.